He first claimed to be Mathilul Masih, a likeness of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And he claimed this post for 7 years. After claiming this post for 7 years, something went wrong again. And he claimed to be the embodiment of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. He claimed to be the living Masih, the promised Masih himself. There's a slight problem here. The problem is, he also claimed to be Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. Anybody, even a child in madrasa, 5-year-old child will be able to tell you, whether he's a Muslim, whether he's a Christian, he will be able to tell you that Maryam, Mary, was the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, was the mother of Jesus. How is it possible for a man to be a male, and then become a female, or become a mother, and then the child at the same time? Now he has to justify this. Listen to how he justifies this. And you can find this in Kashti Nuh, page 87-89. He writes, he, referring to God Almighty, naming Mary in the third part of Barahini Ahmadiyya. Barahini Ahmadiyya is his own work. Later, as is evident from Barahini Ahmadiyya, I was reared in the form of Mary for 2 years. Then my body was filled with the soul of Christ, just as the body of Mary was filled with Christ's soul, and in a metaphorical sense, I became pregnant with the soul of Christ. At last, after a period of many months, I was metamorphosed from Mary into Christ by a divine revelation, which has been recorded at the end of part 4 of Barahini Ahmadiyya. Hence, in this way, I became the son of Mary. For those that haven't understood this garbage, basically means he said that I was Mary, for 2 years I was Mary, the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Then I became pregnant, and then from my own abdomen, I came out as the son of Mary. Kashtinu, page 87, 89. Now you can understand why I call him the clown. I mean, in the 20th century, if they wanted, how can we believe this? Slight problem. Because earlier we've just read that he said the prediction made in the hadith about the second coming of Messiah, son of Mary, is a prediction of the first order, which everyone has accepted unanimously. He said that these ahadith are matchless. They're authentic. Now what does he do with the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now that he's claimed to be Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam? Only one option is to play with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, for example, the hadith of Nawasim bin Sam'an, which can be found in Sahih Muslim, which states regarding Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, كَفَيَنْزِلُ عِنْدَ الْمَنَارَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ شَرْقِيَّ دِمَشْقِ. This hadith of Rasulullah and the other hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam state that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is going to descend from the heavens. This is the belief of the Muslims. Now, how does he go about playing with this hadith? Because he himself has acknowledged that these hadith are authentic. He writes that where in the hadith it is mentioned descension, nuzul, it doesn't mean nuzul. It means that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will be born in Qadian. Okay, now the hadith says Dimashq, not Qadian, that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will descend near the white minaret in Damascus. Now how do we go about changing this word? It says that it doesn't refer to Dimashq as in Dimashq. Dimashq is referring to Qadian. Okay, fair enough. What about the Dajjal? The hadith mentions, the very same hadith mentioned, that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will descend and he will kill the Antichrist. What about this? He says it's not referring to the Dajjal. The Dajjal here means the Christians. And he goes on and on and on and on, playing with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that he's claimed the post of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, it was necessary that his character and personality be superior than Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, be higher than Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Now how does he go about doing this? He goes about doing this by insulting Prophet Jesus, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Let me quote a few passages what is written. You can find this in Zamimai Anjame Atam Qadian 1922, page 6. He writes, Christians have attributed a large number of miracles to him, referring to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, but the fact is that he could perform no miracle. Ever since the day he abused those who demanded miracles from him and called them scoundrels and, he uses the B word here, the respectable and noble people parted with him, for they do not want to become scoundrels and by asking him to produce miracles. What does the Quran say? That he would take clay, make a figure of a bird, he would blow, and with the will of Allah it would become alive and fly. And all the other miracles which I related earlier. So this totally goes against the Muslim belief, even the Christian belief. Another extract. He writes, it appears from the Gospel of Matthew that he was hard of understanding and had a coarse brain. He did not consider epilepsy to be a disease, just like the illiterate women and commoners. Rather, he thought it was the spell of a jinn. Of course, he was in the habit of using filthy and abusive language. Now, from this extract, it is apparent that he's accusing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam of two things. Hard of understanding and had a coarse brain. Basically, he's accusing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam of having defects. And the second thing he's accusing is in the habit of using filthy and abusive language. Is accusing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam of using filthy and abusive language. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, just like every other prophet, was free from these allegations made against him. Just like every other prophet, his character was sublime. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam did not come here to teach people to use filthy and abusive language. He came here to stop people from doing this. As for the clown himself, he was a master in using abusive language, and as for his defects, they're uncountable. Let us see what he himself has written, that what the things that he was suffering from. He was suffering from impotence. He writes, Maktubati Ahmadiyya, volume 5, page 14. This decrepit is suffering from weakness of brain. Basically means he has no head on his shoulder. He himself is saying this. For a long time after I got married, I used to think that I'm impotent. So two things, no head on the shoulder. Leave it to that. Tariyakul Qulub, page 35-36, by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani himself. He writes, at the time of marriage, my heart and brain were very weak, and I was suffering from many diseases, amongst them, diabetes, headache, dizziness, have been with me for a long time. Because of these, I had bitterness, sadness of the heart, and hence absence of sexual power. You have a few more here. Maktubati Ahmadiyya, volume 5, number 2. Writing to Hakim Nuruddin, Mirza says, that I felt great improvement with your medicines. Few diseases like lethargy and gastric acidity have been cured by it. I had one very serious problem. Not one for the masjid. Nuzuli Masih, page 2066, footnote by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. Revelation was sent to me regarding marriage. At that time, my heart and brain and body were very weak. Apart from diabetes, dizziness in the head and sadness of heart, I was suffering from tuberculosis, TB. Siratul Mahdi, part 1, page 51. He used to get attacks very frequently and his health was generally down. Siratul Mahdi, part 1, page 51. Hazrat was a chronic melancholic. This illness was inherited. Mirza Sahib had a real uncle whose name was Mirza Jamiat Beg. He had one son and one daughter, and both were suffering from mental defects. Boy's name was Mirza Sher Ali, girl was Hurmat Bibi. She got married to Hazrat Sahib. She was suffering from mental defects and she got married to Hazrat Sahib. He himself doesn't have a head on his shoulder. He himself has said that. Perfect match. You can find this, Siratul Mahdi, part 1, page 51. Siratul Mahdi, part 2, page 135. His molar teeth and caries, which used to pain occasionally, The end of one molar became pointed, which caused also on his tongue. It had to be filed away. Siratul Mahdi, part 2, page 198. Once he fell down from a window and injured his left arm, which remained weak till the end. Do you think Allah is going to ever send a prophet suffering from all these things? Impotence, melancholia, hypochondriasis, diabetes, hysteria, poor memory, excessive urination. He himself has written that sometimes he would go to the toilet for 100 times a day. There's a reference for this. Think about it. 100 times a day, how long does one spend in a toilet? Doing istinja, say minimum 3 minutes. Minimum 3 minutes. 100 times 3 is 300 minutes a day. Divided by hours, that's 5 hours a day. I mean, if he's spending 5 hours a day in the toilet, when is he conveying the message of God? He was suffering from dizzy spells, insomnia, epilepsy, depression of heart, and so forth and so forth. Now, in spite of all these illnesses, I mean, he himself said that he's got a weakness of the head, weakness of the brain. His followers claim that his mental development, astaghfirullah, na'udhu billah, was better and superior than our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he himself is saying, this decrepit is suffering from weakness of brain. He's saying this, and his followers are saying, the mental development of the Prophet's Masih was higher than of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is only a partial superiority which the promised Masih has over the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he insulted Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam by claiming that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, was suffering from defects. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was free from this allegation, as we have seen. It was he that was suffering from defects. The second thing he accused Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was that he used filthy and abusive language. Let us see how polite he was. Ruwani Khazain, volume 14, page 53. My enemies are dirty swine, and their women are more wretched than the word for female dog. All Muslims regard my books with reverence and care, and benefit from their sublime thoughts, except those who are the offsprings of prostitutes. Ruhani Khazain, volume 5, page 547, 548. The one who has no belief in our ultimate victory is fond of becoming B, and he is bound to be product of fornication. Ruwani Khazain, volume 9, page 31. Are they prepared to swear? No, they'll never do so, because they are liars and are derooting the corpse of falsehood like dogs. Ruwani Khazain, volume 2, page 309. Every Muslim sees my books with loving eyes and affection, and benefits from their learnings and accepts me. But those born of prostitutes and adulteresses, whose hearts have been sealed by God, do not accept me. Aini Kamalat, page 547, 508. If Abdullah Atam is saved from death, and if all the world say the Christian was correct, then the B will not follow the right path. Ruwani Khazain, volume 9, page 32. Abdullah Haq is not content with our victories. He is itching to become a B. Anwarul Islam, page 30. There is nothing more foul than a pig in the world, but the ulama who oppose me are more foul than pigs. And Jami Atham, page 21. You have inflicted pain on me with your foulness. You are not truthful. I pray that you die in shame, you son of a harlot. And Jami Atham, page 288. This bee of a doctor does not thread the straight path. Anwarul Islam, page 30. Anyone who believes in Moses but does not believe in Christ, or believes in Christ but does not believe in Muhammad, or believes in Muhammad but does not believe in the promised Messiah, is not only a kafir but a pakka kafir. And out of the fold of Islam, Kalimatul Fasl, page 110. This is how polite he was. Now, in spite of all this, he's written in page 18, Mawahib al-Rahman, that I have never abused anyone. Let us look at another extract in which he insults Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. He writes that, you can find this in Dafi'i Bala. He writes, the truthfulness of Jesus is not proved to be greater than that of the other truthful men of his time. In fact, Apostle John enjoys a superiority over him, for he did not take alcoholic liquor, and it was never heard that a prostitute had applied perfume bought from her earnings to his hair, or touched his body with her hands or tresses, or that an unrelated young woman waited upon him It is for this reason that the Quran has used the term Hasur. Hasur means one who keeps his carnal desires in check. For Apostle John, but it does not call Jesus by this name, and he goes on. Ruwani Khazain, volume 9, page 449, he writes, a young and beautiful prostitute sits close by as if sitting in his lap. He's referring to Sayyidina Isa al-Islam here. And he writes, rubbish, 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 and he keeps on going. Now in these two references, he's accused Sayyidina Isa al-Islam of two things. A, taking alcoholic liquor. And secondly, associating with bad women. Yet if we look at his life, the only person that took alcoholic liquor and associated with bad women was he himself. This is a letter that he's written to a one called Muhammad Hussein Saab. He writes, my dear brother Muhammad Hussein Saab, may God protect you. Assalamu alaikum. Mia Yar Muhammad is being sent now. Things to be purchased. You purchase yourself and purchase one bottle of tonic wine from plumber's shop. But I need tonic wine. Keep this in mind. Rest is okay. Whether you bring anything else, that's irrelevant. As long as you bring tonic wine. Never mind tonic wine. He was hooked on drugs. Not only was he hooked on drugs, he gave others drugs. Article by Mia Mahmoud Ahmed, Khalifa Qadian, taken from the newspaper Al-Fadl Qadian, volume 17, number 6, dated 19 July 1929. This is what's written inside. Hazrat Masih Maud made a medicine, Tiryaki Ilahi, by instructions from God. Allah told him to make this medicine. And its main constituent was opium. And this medicine, after some increase in opium content, was given to Hazrat Khalifa by Hazrat himself, for more than 6 months, and himself used it off and on during attacks of disease. So you've got alcohol, he's on opium. Surely that is the answer to all the rubbish that we find in these books. But whenever you have alcohol, drugs, there's one thing remaining, and that is women. The same thing that he accuses Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam of. Listen to this. This is a statement of a one called Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani, the husband of Aisha, and it's published in the newspaper Al-Fazl, March 20, 1928, page 6 and 7. He writes, my late wife went to Hazrat Promised Masih at the age of 15 in Darul Aman. This sire very much liked her service of massaging his feet. Now, when one of his own followers objected to his behavior and the things that he was doing, and the question that was written was this, why does the pious Hazrat get his legs and arms massaged by unrelated stranger women? The answer can be found in Al-Hakam, the newspaper, April 17, 1907, page 13. The answer was given by a Qadiani named Hakim Fazaldin Qadiani. He writes, he is an innocent prophet, and caress with him is not prohibited. It is rather a source of suspiciousness and blessing. Basically means that it's all right if the prophet of Qadian commits adultery, and we know as Muslims there are different forms of adultery, adultery of the eyes, adultery of the hands, and so forth. It is all right if he commits adultery, it is not all right. It is rather a source of suspiciousness and blessing. I mean, if he commits adultery, it's a source of suspiciousness. And these women should think good of it. Astaghfirullah. Another reference. Zikri Habib by Mufti Ahmed Sadiq, page 38. Inside the house of Hazrat Promised Masih lived a maid servant who was half mad. What she did one day, there was a water outlet in a corner of the room where Hazrat did his reading and writing work. Nearby were pitchers of water. She took off her clothes and started taking bath naked, and it goes on and on. Now there are two things here. Either this woman wasn't mad, and the reason she took off her clothes was because she had no inhibition. She was used to it. And when one is used to another person, there is no inhibition there. So either she took off her clothes because she was used to the Prophet himself, or either Mirza Ghulam himself was insane. Nobody employs somebody who is insane to work for them, unless the one who is employing is insane himself. And we've already learned that he had a weak head. His wife was also insane. So it is possible that she was insane and he was insane for... Allah knows best. But having looking at all the other extracts, he was so obsessed with women that in the work Siratul Mahdi, volume 1, page 261, he is given a fatwa that the earnings of prostitutes are halal. Balki, in his dreams, that is the only thing he would see is women. Let me relate one or two dreams. Tazkira, page 198, 199, Majmu' al-Hamad wal-Mukashafat, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. He writes, August 14, 1892, 20th Muharram 1309. Today I saw a dream that Muhammadi Begum, for whom a prediction has already been made, is sitting outside on a burial ground along with some people. She is naked from top to bottom and has a very ugly look. Three times I told her that the interpretation of her head shaving is that her husband will die. Then I stretched out my both hands on her head and it goes forth. Another from the same book, an extract. July 25, 1892, Zilhijjah 20, 1309 Hijri, Monday, at 4:30 early morning, I saw a dream as follows. There is a mansion in which my wife, mother of Mahmud, and another woman are sitting. I filled water in a white water bag and poured it out into my pitcher. As I finished pouring, that other woman who was wearing pleasant red-coloured dress suddenly came near me. What I see is a woman, young in years, clad in red gossamer from head to foot. It comes to my mind that this is the same woman about whom I advertised, but her face seemed to be that of my wife. Either she muttered or said so in her heart, I have come. I said, Ya Allah, may she come. Then that woman hugged me in arms, and it goes on and on and on. So we have drugs, we have alcohol, we have women, and this is the so-called Prophet of Qadian. He left nobody. There is not a single person that he did not insult. He, 1 minute he claims to be Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. 1 minute he claims to be the mother. 1 minute he claims to be Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. 1 minute he claims to be Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He claims to be Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He claims to be Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. Then another minute he claims to be Shri Krishna. Never mind Shri Krishna, he didn't leave Allah himself. The Almighty himself. Every prophet is sent by God. His aim and objective in life was insult Allah. He first insults Allah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by expressing ideas about Allah which totally go against the aqidah of monotheism. This is what he writes. He writes that Allah said this to him. Ruhani Khazain, volume 19, page 251. Allah said, I pray and keep fasting. I stay awake and sleep. The Quran says, Allah la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Allah, there is no God worthy of worship, but He does not do the worshipping, He is worshipped. The alive, the eternal, He is not overtaken by sleep and slumber. And the God that He is referring to sleeps. Ruhani Khazain, volume 22, he writes, this is what Allah said to him. I am with the messenger and I will answer to his call. I can be wrong, I can be right. Allah can be wrong, he writes. He further insults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making this statement. He writes, Chashmay Ma'rifat, page 209, he writes, Aur ye bilkul ghair ma'kool aur behuda amr hai ki insaan ki asal zaban to koi aur ho aur ilham usko kisi aur zaban mein ho jisko wo samajh bhi nahi sakta kyunki isme takleef mala yutaq hai. What he said is that it cannot be understood aur behuda amr hai, and it is silly that a man receive a revelation in a language that he doesn't understand. Why? Isme takleef mala yutaq hai, because in this it is burdening with a responsibility which he is unable to carry out. This is what is written in Chashme Ma'rifat, Safa 209. Then he writes in Nuzul al-Masih, page 57, Ziyada tar ta'ajjub ki baat ye hai ke baz ilhamat mujhe un zabanon mein bhi hote hain jinse mujhe kuch bhi waqfiyat nahi, jaise angrezi ya sanskrit ya ibrani wagaira. That it is surprising that I receive revelation in those languages which I do not understand one bit, like English, Sanskrit, Hebrew. If you put two together, he's saying that it was silly of Allah to send revelation in languages that he didn't understand. Astaghfirullah. Then he gives you a few examples of his revelations in Haqiqatul Wahy, page 303, that Allah said this: I love you, I am happy with you. Yes, I am happy. Life is pain. And so forth. Now he's claimed everything. What? There's one post that he's not claimed is the Son of God. So he claims the Son of God, but and this is how he insults Allah by claiming the Son of God. And he writes, Al-Bushra, volume 1, page 49, he writes that Allah said to him, listen to me, my son. Dafi'ul Bala, page 6. Listen to me, my son, thou art from my water, and they from dust. Al-Bushra, volume 1, page 49, God addressed me in these words, listen to me, my son. Now he's claimed to be the Son of God, he goes a step further. Let me be God, let me play God, let me claim to be God. And he goes and claims to be God. Ayn-e Kamalat, page 564. I dreamt that I was Allah, and I believed that I was really He. Kitabul Bariya, page 78. Ayn-e Kamalat, page 564. He writes, I saw that I was God, and I believed that I was He. And in that condition I was saying, we intend to create a new system, a new heaven and earth. Then I said, we decorated the lower heaven with lights and added, we shall create men out of the extract of earth. Then he goes a step further after claiming the poster of Allah. He claims that Allah showed his manly powers to him. Astaghfirullah. He writes, I saw myself as if I am a woman, and Allah spilled into me his reproductive power of manliness. So there's nobody he's left. Nobody he's left. He insulted nearly every person, every major figure that he could think of. Let us finish off by looking at his death, because this itself was a sign that he was a liar. He himself says this. Now when he was alive, he used to consider the disease cholera. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Cholera. He used to consider this disease, cholera, as a punishment from God. And he used to curse anybody with this disease. He used to say that whoever is suffering from this disease, Allah is angry with him. This is what is written in this respect. From the newspaper Al-Fazl Qadiyan, volume 28, page 50, he writes, he who claims that I am from God, but actually had not been honored with inspirations or conversation with him, he dies a very bad death. And is a lesson for others. Listen to this very carefully. He dies a very bad death, and is a lesson for others. Now a year before he died, he published an announcement of Mubahala. Mubahala is where one party curses the other party. And this is, and he published this advertisement of Mubahala with a person called Maulvi Thanaullah Amritsari. And this was the title: Final Decision with Maulvi Thanaullah Amritsari. And this is the prayer he made at this time: take away the life of whosoever is the liar during the lifetime of the one who is not. Let the death of the liar not be caused by any human hand, but by a fatal disease such as cholera, plague, or the like. Now this is the prayer he made. Let the death of the liar not be caused by any human hand, but by a fatal disease such as cholera, plague, or the like. And this is what he wrote to the Mulana Sahib he was doing Mubahala with, or was to do Mubahala with. In your paper, you have built up this reputation for me that this person is a pretender and a liar and Dajjal. I have borne a lot of tortures from you. Still, I endured them patiently. If I am a liar and imposter, as you call me in your paper, then I should perish in your lifetime, because I know liars and mischief mongers do not live long. The liar ultimately meets his doom in a state of intense grief. The liar ultimately meets his doom in a state of intense grief and contemptuousness in front of his foe. It is better he perishes, lest he should mislead Allah's creatures. If I am not a liar or pretender, if Allah blesses me by holding dialogues with me, if I am the promised Messiah, then by Allah's munificence, according to his practice, I hope that you will not be able to save yourself from his punishment, which he inflicts on disowning liars. Therefore, if that punishment, which is not in the hands of a human being, but only in Allah's hands, such as plague, cholera, and similar fatal diseases, does not descend upon you in my lifetime, then I am not God sent. This prediction is not because of any revelation or inspiration. It is merely a prayer I've invoked to Allah for His decision. At the end of this advertisement, he writes, "Ultimately, my request to Maulvi Sahib is that he should publish this entire writing of mine in his paper and write underneath whatever he wants, because now the decision rests with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." What happens as a result? May 25, 1908, he himself was a victim of this disease, cholera, which he had prayed for others, and which he said is a sign of the punishment of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with this person. He himself used to consider this while he was alive. What did he write? "Let the death of the liar not be caused by any human hand, but by a fatal disease such as cholera, plague, or the like." He himself became a victim of this disease on May 25, 1908. 10 o'clock, he had eaten his meal. He became a victim of this disease, and filth oozed from both of his passages. And within 12 hours, he lay dead. And as for the Mawlana Sahib, lived for 41 years after this. So his own death, according to his own words, was a sign that he was a liar, not a messenger, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry with him. So my brothers, can this man be a prophet? He claimed everything. He even claimed to be the Hajar al-Aswad, a stone. He claimed to be Baytullah. He claimed to have monthly periods. He claimed to have given birth. I mean, there are references for all these things. It's not something that I'm making up. If one requires references, inshallah, we will provide them with references. Then we find that for 1 minute he's Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, 1 minute he's his mother. 1 minute he's another prophet. 1 minute he's the son of God. The second minute he's God himself. Third minute, God is showing his manly powers to him. He's on drugs, he's on tonic wine, and we have women. Can this man be a prophet? I leave the decision in your hands. I say no further. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين